read and hear more about important news, events, and public policy debates at ncnewsline.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. As those following the goings-on at the state legislature are aware, some big and controversial changes are afoot in public education. Under legislation advanced by Republican lawmakers, North Carolina will soon enact a massive expansion of its hotly debated school voucher program that will, for the first time, subsidize the tuition paid by wealthy families to private and parochial schools. What's more, this change comes at the same moment that lawmakers are refusing to abide by a judicial order to adequately fund the state's public schools. And recently, I got a chance to learn more about this unprecedented situation from an expert and critic who brings the unique three-way perspective as an advocate, an ordained minister, and a mom, the executive director of the group Pastors for North Carolina Children, the Reverend Suzanne Parker Miller.
Well, Suzanne Parker Miller, welcome back to News and Views. Good to have you back with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be back.
A lot of news since we spoke last summer. Lots of big and important decisions being made right now in the General Assembly about the present and future of public education in our state. Where do things stand? What's topping the list of your concerns and priorities right now?
Oh, my goodness. Well, we have a couple big things going on right now. One, as we know, the House has passed their budget. The Senate's passing their budget. So we'll see. And they'll be going to conference committee, it sounds like. So looking at what they're prioritizing in the state budget. And I have a lot of concerns as far as public education goes. There's not the investment in public education that we need. And I think that kind of covers a lot of it. But, you know, specifically teacher raises are, you know, educator raises aren't even keeping up with inflation. How do we not even keep up with inflation? I mean, that just seems pretty minimum to me. The governor was asking for a significant increase. The Public School Forum of North Carolina asked for an even larger percentage increase, around 24%, to be able to get us up to where we need to be nationally or should be nationally. And the House and Senate budgets are just not even in the double digits. So it's pretty concerning in that respect for teachers.
I know we have something called the Leandro case, which has been around for decades, in which our Supreme Court at one point ordered the General Assembly to start funding a comprehensive remedial plan that would address things like this and actually put us on the path to providing every child with the sound basic education to which the Constitution supposedly entitles them. But it appears that the General Assembly is not interested in complying with that directive.
Yeah, they seem to think that their oath taken to the Constitution doesn't actually apply to them to have to abide by the Constitution. And it's only been since November that this court ruling in November isn't even a year old. And yet they're continuing to just decide that they don't want to comply. We're almost at the end of year three in the 8-year plan to get North Carolina up to the standards where it needs to be, to a bare minimum constitutional standard, which is what Leandro is asking for. It's, you know, this entire 29-year court case is not asking for the world. It's not asking for a world-class education. It is truly trying to get us to the bare minimum of what our students need to thrive, what our state needs our kids to have to thrive for a thriving economy, for a growing economy. I mean, all the different pieces of this. We need our children receiving the bare minimum. And you know, we're almost at the end of year three, and they still haven't fully funded years two and three. And now we're looking at years four and five in the budget, and it's just the money's not there. They are not prioritizing public education. And the argument that we're spending more on education than we've ever spent, well, yes, but our state is bigger than it's ever been. We're educating more children. That costs more money. Percentage-wise, we're spending less than we've ever spent, and they continue to just not even get close. Not even close to what is needed. What is research-based? This is not, you know, just some number that the courts have come up with. There's been hundreds and thousands of hours of research put into this from experts in the field who understand what is needed, you know, what our children need. Conversations that have happened across the state, talking with our educators to know what our kids need. The legislature is just not doing that. And the couple of issues that we're dealing with right now, one being besides the legislature not putting it into the budgets for year four and five or funding year two and three, the controller right now, Nels Roseland, has said that he cannot write the check for years two and three. He has questions about the legitimacy of this. our coalition, the Every Child North Carolina, Communities for the Education of Every Child North Carolina, delivered a petition to Governor Cooper and Attorney General Steins with almost 100 organizations from across the state. This is a broad, broad coalition of partners who are coming together from all different fields saying, we need this to happen and we need you to speak up, Governor Cooper and Attorney General Steins, to let the controller know that he has no standing to bring this concern back to the courts, to the North Carolina Supreme Court. The case was settled in November. We don't need it to go back. It is set. And so we just need him to write the check. That is something that we are working on. The money's in the bank. It's not an issue of money. It's an issue of political will, it seems like. So this petition is trying to just continue to show our efforts as a coalition to put pressure and say, please just write the check. We know our kids need this. North Carolina needs this. You have broad support for it. And we need this to happen now. We've been waiting 29 years. Our kids can't wait. I was in middle school when the Leander case started in Forsyth County. I was a student in Forsyth County when Leandra started in 1994, my child enters middle school this summer, Wow. My own child. And so we're looking at multiple generations of families who have been affected by the lack of funding in our state. We can't let it continue.
You have to wonder if our Supreme Court can't order compliance with the Constitution, can't order funds to be dispersed to address a constitutional shortcoming, who can? I mean, it sort of makes one wonder who has the final say on these matters of what's right. Constitutional. It's a remarkable dilemma.
And how does our democracy work? I mean, if there's not a checks and balances, I mean, I remember learning that in school, that there's a checks and balances among the different branches of government. And we're seeing that not work right now, which is a real concern on a whole other level as a citizen of this state. And looking back at the budget, you know, you mentioned Leandro and the budget as well. One of the things that we keep hearing from the legislature is that they can't afford Leandro. We just can't afford the Leandro plan. And yet, when we look at the House and the Senate budget, they have put a massive amount of expansion for the Opportunity Scholarship or the voucher programs into these budgets. Far and away, the largest expansion we've ever seen. I mean, that is keeping me up at night right now, trying mm-hmm. to figure out how we can prevent this massive voucher expansion. Because we know that the money that they're saying that will go to that is going to be taken out of our public schools and is going to continue to further harm the public schools of the state, putting public taxpayer money into private schools that aren't required to admit all students, who aren't required to serve all students, provide disability services, you know, comply with IEPs on the federal level. They don't have to be ADA accessible for students to be able to get into the building. They can choose who they want to receive as students, what families they want to serve. They're taking money that is public money and they're not accountable to any of these laws. And so this expansion is just so concerning on so many levels. As a pastor and a person of faith, it's also a separation of church and state issue of why are so many of these church schools able to receive this money? Why would they want this money from the government with the separation of church and state? That to me is a mind boggler of why they would want to get that squishy question in there of separation of church and state and just kind of ignoring that.
We're talking with Reverend Suzanne Parker Miller of Pastors for North Carolina Children. We're talking about the state of public education in North Carolina, the fact that the state legislature is continuing to underfund our public schools and yet shifting millions and millions of dollars to a private school voucher plan. Talk to us about some of the specific things that if we could adequately fund our schools, if the legislature were serious about complying, for instance, with the Leandro remedial plan, what are some of the specific kinds of things that would be better in North Carolina that we could improve, that we could lift up and make public schools better for all the students who attend?
A couple of the key things with the Leandro plan are making sure that every single school has a well-qualified principal, a principal who's received the training and the support that they need. And with that, every single classroom would have a qualified teacher, somebody who's receiving paid professional development, who's getting to continue to grow their skills and have the support that they need to be able to, you know, to help our children. And we know that teachers are the number one best way to help our children succeed. And so investing in our leadership, investing in our people who are helping with the schools, running the schools, that would be really, really key, especially with that investing in our teachers of color, making sure that our students are seeing teachers who represent them in the classroom, not just one demographic, but being able to be broadly representative would be really beneficial to all children, not just our Black and Brown children. Something else that, you know, as a mom of two elementary school children, I would love to see a nurse in our building every single day. Sure. You know, I do not like the fact that the secretary has to be the one to help with bee stings and boo-boos and, you know, bloody noses and things like that, that a nurse is really the person who should be dealing with. So, you know, if we were meeting the national standards for having a nurse in every building and meeting those national ratios, not just with nurses, but with counselors and making sure we have school counselors to help, not just with the paperwork, but to really be able to meet with students, to help with those mental health needs that we keep hearing so much about with our kids right now, having post-pandemic, you know, wherever we are with this pandemic, being able to meet with kids and help them process their thoughts and feelings around things, you know, social workers, psychologists, all of these people who are in the building to support our children, meeting those national standards would be truly revolutionary in our schools right now. I mean, they wouldn't have to continue to share. Some counties are so limited in the positions that they have been able to fill. Having a teacher in every classroom, not having the teacher shortages right now would be amazing. You know, we need, you know, in addition to a well-qualified teacher, we need a teacher in every
body.
More than just a warm body. We need actual teachers instead of having a sub, as I've heard about recently, where the sub is sitting in the class and the teacher is on Zoom teaching because they couldn't fill the position. And that's happening in a lot of our schools. That's really scary as a parent. Other things that we would really like to see, we've been hearing lots this year about transportation issues, making sure that we have enough bus drivers, making sure that our schools are able to get the children to and from school on time, having enough cafeteria workers and janitorial custodian staff to keep our buildings running and making sure that our children are fed. We're also part of a coalition that's working on making sure food is available, the school meals for all NC, working on returning back to during COVID when every child was able to get free breakfast and lunch. That would be a tremendous asset to our schools, just to make sure that our kids don't have rumbly bellies. I mean, right now we're looking at, you know, facing the end of grade testing and end of course testing right now at the end of the school year. And how are students able to do their best if they didn't get a good breakfast in the morning? That would help our test scores. That would help our achievement data that we like to talk about so much. There's a lot we could do to really ensure that our children are getting the best quality education and that our educators are not being pushed to do the job of three and four people, which is what's really happening right now. We're asking the teachers to do so much more than just teach. It's heartbreaking to listen to the burnout that I hear over and over from teachers across the state as I talk with them.
We're coming to the end of our time with Reverend Suzanne Parker Miller, Pastors for North Carolina Children. Reverend Miller, is there a place where people could learn more about your organization, maybe chime in, help with your efforts and join in this fight to save and expand our public school?
Absolutely. We are working to connect faith communities across our state to mobilize around supporting public schools. And so to learn more, you can go to our website at pastorsfornchildren.org. We have a curriculum called Mission Amplify that we provide churches if they'd like to learn how to become advocates and speak up on behalf of our children. We believe that it's an important part of loving our neighbor and loving every single child in the state, that they, you know, they have the spark of God in them. And we want to be sure that they are, you know, receiving the best education. And we truly believe that the public schools, where they're required to serve every child and required, it's a public good. It's not the only choice, and parents are free to choose where they want to send their children. But we really believe that public schools should be the best choice for our children. And we want to continue to promote and support that.
Reverend Suzanne Parker Miller, thanks so much for being with us. Please keep up the good work. It's very important. We'll look forward to catching up with you again later this year.
Absolutely. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Coming up next, a new report has some important advice for a North Carolina community battling sea level rise. We'll talk to the expert behind it. Stay with us.